The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
All right, turn to the book of Zechariah, Zechariah 3. I'll give you a few seconds to find it. If you go to Matthew and then go reverse a little bit, nice and slow, you'll eventually stumble on it. Zechariah 3, we're going to be reading verse 1 through 5. Please stand with me. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. Please be seated. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Please help us now. Without your help, this is going to be a flop. I pray that your Holy Spirit will give me wisdom and strength to preach. And I pray that your Son will get all the glory. I thank you so much for your Son's blood and righteousness. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so who's been on a cemetery walk before? Who does a date with their wife and goes, "You know what? I'm going to a cemetery." I did that recently. Cass and I did a date night, and we took a walk in a cemetery, an old cemetery in Yreka, California. And we saw graves, headstones from even back in the 1800s. And that was good for me for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons it was so good is because it was just like the tombstones or the gravestones were literally screaming out, "What is your identity, Elliot?" You see all these markers, and the markers, different ones say different things. Some of them had a big old buck on it. Some of them had a fishing rod. Some of them were inscribed, "Good Father," or "Loving Mother." And those are good things. But is that what I want to be known for? Is that who I am? Is that my identity? As a follower of Christ, I have to say and scream out, that is not all that I'm made up of. There's way more. And so today, I get the privilege of talking to you about Christ's blood and righteousness. Probably the best topic I could ever talk about. And so what does this remind you of? By the way, kids, you've probably already heard this. I did this message for the youth a while back. So reminds me of a courtroom, doesn't it? Read it. If you read it slowly, you can see the characters. In any good book, or even in a good movie like a Charles Dickens movie, what's so good about those? You can see the characters, right? You can see character development. And I think once you start to look at this, you're going to see character development. You're going to know these characters. And I pray that some of these characters, you're going to say, I identify with that guy. I understand that. So who are the characters in this courtroom? Who are the players? Well, we've got Joshua. And in the courtroom, what character would Joshua be playing? Joshua is a suspect, right? In a courtroom, who's been in a courtroom before? You've got at least in the courtrooms in California, you got the suspect over here. Who's with a suspect? You got the defense attorney, all right? Who's over here? You got the district attorney, right? And what's a district attorney's job? To prosecute, right? So who are the characters we've got? And then who's sitting at the bench? Obviously, you got the judge. And so, what do we know about this suspect? What's the character development here? We know that he's a high priest. What's the high priest's job? The high priest is to make atonement, right? To intercede and offer sacrifices for the people. He's a leader in the church for the congregation. Yet you see something about this high priest that's way, way different than any other priest in any other church. What do you see about him? How is he dressed? If you looked up, you got on your phone right now, and don't do it, please. You got on your phone right now and you said, looked up Mormon priest. How do you think those guys would be dressed? Yes, kind of spotless, like a pure robe, right? How about a Catholic priest? Yet we find our priest dressed in filthy garments. So what do you think, how do you think this priest is, what do you think's going on in his head right now? You think that this, if he's in this courtroom, we've got our suspect over here, Joshua, and he's literally comes to court in filthy garments. What's going on in his head? You ever see in a courtroom the suspect coming to court? How do they usually come to court? Even slime balls, dressed in a nice suit. They try to keep it together, look sharp. Joshua shows up to court in filthy garments. So how about who are our other players? You've got Satan on his right hand, it says in the word, to accuse him. Now, I hope there's no DAs in the room, because in this setting, Satan is that accused, that prosecutor, right? He's just chomping at the bit to hammer the suspect. I've been in court a few times, and prior to court, you meet with the, you're reading over your case files, you're reading over the person's criminal history, you're meeting with the law enforcement personnel, and I had one DA literally look at me and say, this is going to be like shooting fish in a barrel. This is a done deal. So you could just see this, the prosecutor on this side just waiting to hammer this Joshua fella. I've got the evidence is lined up. There is no doubt. Just let me talk, Judge. and the case should be just an absolute slam dunk. And then we have the Lord, the judge. But the judge does something surprising. He stops the proceedings before it even begins. And what does he say? In verse 2, look at it with me. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you." So, have you ever been in court or heard of even in a... That's not the way court goes. Where the judge says, wait, before the proceedings start, before any evidence is given, before the defense gives their case, the district attorney gives their case, the judge says, stop. Is this man not a brand plucked from the fire? So where was Joshua heading? And where was I heading? It says in Matthew 7:13, enter the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. Were we on our way to destruction? We say that in church, but sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that we were on that broad path. That wide path, picture like a Southern California highway and just a broad path, and we're headed to hell. And meanwhile, what was I doing? What are you guys doing? What were you doing before Christ? We were just like high-fiving our buddies. Let's do this. High five, and all the time I'm headed to destruction. And God literally in his grace says, no, Eric, you're not going there. He literally plucks me from the fire. What else does the judge say? It says he removes our filthy garments. Removes them, takes them away. So all that crud that we were clothed in, he says, you're not going to wear that anymore. That's not you anymore. What else does he do? He says he takes away our iniquity. Every single one of our sins. And I do mean every single one of our sins. Think about the sins that you've committed. The sins that just, if you guys looked into my heart, you would say, that's nasty. That's black. That's dark. Guess what? He took that. Jesus took that iniquity and placed it on the cross. How about this? He clothes us with pure vestments. So where do we fit in this story? Where are we? The Bible says that we're all going to stand before the judge of heaven and give an account. What are you going to say? What am I going to say? What's going to be your plea? What are the options? You got guilty? You got not guilty, and then that's one of my favorite is guilty with an explanation. That's kind of fun to hear those. So what was Joshua? What was he going to say? Standing in filthy garments. You could picture him with his head down. Joshua, what's your plea? Guilty. I got nothing. I'm guilty. the God of the universe intervenes and says, no, someone's going to take your place. Someone's taking your punishment. So God did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And I got a couple more questions for you. In a real courtroom, this judge, would he be, what do you think, what would you think of this judge if he just absolutely went, stop the proceedings, and guess what? Let that guy go free. What happens if it was personal? What happens if this suspect literally did an offense against the judge? What happens if he was a thief? Or right before court, like you could see on YouTube, did Joshua or the suspect literally being defiant before the judge? What would you think of this judge if he just goes, that's done. That's okay. No sweat. You think of him as being a chump, right? That's not just. If that's what he did, did our God do that? Did he just say, you know what? That's okay. A human judge does that. Guess what? He would be fired. I think the whole community, and that's happened in this country, where the community rises up and says, no, that's not just, judge. You can't do that. Then how can a perfect judge pronounce Joshua and me innocent? Because his son stepped up and took our punishment. Enter Jesus. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. My other question is, why is Jesus the only one that can do that? Think of who else could do that? Who else could step up to the plate and say, okay, I'll take your punishment, Joshua? Who can do that? My wife, she's good. She's got her own mess. Sorry, Cass. No one can do that except the spotless Lamb of God. So, your sins are forgiven. So you picture Joshua and me and you over here. And the judge just says, I remove your iniquity. I remove it. So you're clean. Right? So you've got a zero in your account. Is that good enough for God? Is that good enough for the judge? Can you stand before a holy God with a big whopping zero in your account? You need something more, don't you? You need the righteousness of Christ. And it's the most beautiful thing in the world. He takes your sin and removes it. And you could picture Joshua being here and saying, I still can't approach you. I have no righteousness. Zero doesn't get me anywhere. And Christ says, my righteousness, everything that I did that was good, is imputed to you. But that's not all. You guys have heard this 100 times from Pastor Brian and others. He does way more than that. He literally adopts us into his family. So the judge of the universe goes, you know what? You're part of my family now. Ephesians 1:5 says, in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. guys remember our old brother, Jason Ching, right? I remember when he was doing the table. You remember this time? We're about to take communion. And he said, if you are a Christian, you have a seat at this table. Jesus himself is literally pulling out a seat and saying, this is yours. You belong here. Because of my blood and my righteousness, you belong. You're welcome here. So let's circle back to the cemetery. What do you want to be known for? What do I want to be known for? The simple answer is to glorify the one that plucked me out of the fire. So what does it mean to glorify God? We talk about that all the time, but what are some practical ways we can glorify God? Well, we can make him famous. You could be thinking about him and praising him throughout whatever you're doing. Michaela's work in PT, physical therapy, she's praising and glorifying God throughout the day. Lord, you've given me a mind. I want to use it for your glory. What are some other ways? Just to be consciously glorifying him. In other words, not getting, receiving credit. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Instead of, I want to glorify him. I want to glorify the one that is high and lifted up. So, in conclusion, what are you going to have on your tombstone, your gravestone? I don't think there's anything biblically wrong with just having a date. Born this date. I've been thinking a lot about it because I'm turning 50 next week. And what I'm going to hopefully have is Christ's blood and righteousness avails for me. Pray with me. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, the spotless Lamb of God, to take away every single one of our putrid stains. There's not one left that we can be punished for. When your Son said, it is finished on the cross, he meant it. Not a single solitary, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise you for this. Thank you also for your blood and righteousness of your Son. How everything good and pure, every act of obedience, every perfect motive, all those acts of righteousness that I can't even begin to even comprehend and put into place, all that righteousness is imputed to a sinner. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you that we can now stand before you, not only clean, not guilty, but also full of your righteousness, and also as adopted kids. In Christ's name, amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.